Hi, this is Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Kakambi Nagaraja. He is a professor at the University of Minnesota. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
You've been doing a lot of work with clostridial dermatitis.
Yes.
And I understand this is now the number one disease affecting turkeys?
Yes, indeed. The clostridial dermatitis, as we call, is a condition in turkeys where they develop a skin lesion under the breast. And most of the time, these lesions are seen in turkeys that are about 16 to 17 weeks, mostly seen in male turkeys than the female turkeys. And having grown these turkeys for 16 to 17 weeks and losing these turkeys is a big economic loss.
Sure.
They say the turkey producers in the United States, Midwest, and North Carolina, and many other parts where turkeys are grown, 1 to 2% of turkeys they lose in a flock with this condition. And so far, they don't know why the disease develops and what predisposes these birds for the development of these lesions. And last year, I was fortunate to get a United States competitive grant to do some research on finding out the pathogenesis of this disease. Is there an injury that is necessary for the development of the lesion? Or is there a predisposition cause, like immunosuppression or some enteric pathogen that predisposes these turkeys for the development of dermatitis? What do we know so far about the dermatitis? We can isolate organisms, bacterial pathogens from these lesions in the laboratory. The most common pathogen that we isolate is clostridial organism. Among them, Clostridial septicum and Clostridial perfringens are the most common bacterial pathogens we isolate from these lesions. Now, we have done in the past a number of studies to look at the Clostridial isolates. Are there any differences among these isolates? The answer is yes. Our studies doing some genetic analysis of these isolates have shown that there are differences among the Clostridial septicum and Clostridial perfringens isolates that we have recovered from these dermatitis lesions.
Clostridial pathogens, these are bacteria.
Yes.
Aren't they susceptible to antibiotics? Why has this become such a big problem?
Indiscriminate use of antibiotics, and bacteria do develop resistance. Some of these bacteria have developed resistance, and the commonly used antibiotics are not working on them. The second question is the clostridial organisms we have isolated from these lesions. I told you there are some differences. Some are more potent than the others. We can take those potent clostridial organisms, inject to turkeys, and reproduce the disease. But in the real world, nobody is injecting these birds. My question is to find out how the lesions are developed. Is something else? Is there an injury that is necessary?
Mm-hmm.
The USDA project that has supported our research has got a number of objectives. We have completed a couple of them already. One of them where we created an injury and then we sprayed the organism in the litter for natural exposure. Clostridial organisms are ubiquitous. They are present everywhere. Now, we have turkeys, we have sprayed clostridial organisms, have turkeys raised on them, no lesions are developed. And then you take those same clostridial organisms, give them orally, very high dose, the disease is not produced. But if you take those isolates, inject them on the breast muscle, you can reproduce the disease. But in the real world, as I said, nobody's injecting. So what I'm trying to find out, is there an injury that is necessary for the predisposition? So we have experiments where we have sprayed clostridial organisms in the litter, and then physically we have caused some injury, okay? And then observed these turkeys for a length of time. Yes, we can reproduce the disease. And the turkeys that were organisms sprayed on the litter, no injuries, no lesions are developed. And the second objective is to see whether some enteric pathogens such as coccidia, hemorrhagic enteritis virus predisposes these turkeys for entry of the organism into the tissues from the gut. And in what circumstances the birds develop the lesion, whether injury in the gut is necessary for the entry of the organism into the tissues, we don't know. So we have experiments planned for doing that intestinal injury by some of the viruses like hemorrhagic enteritis virus or coccidia, and then superimpose these birds with clostridia to see whether the entry is facilitated for them to cause the dermatitis lesions.
Well, and it sounds fascinating, and I know that you have more work to do on this, but you've got a lot of turkey producers in Minnesota and presumably elsewhere that are losing a lot of money to this disease. What kind of recommendations can you make today for preventing or treating this disease?
Right now, if I say that one of the recommendations is to make sure these birds are not treated with antibiotics that don't work, number one. If the organisms have developed resistance, the antibiotics that you may be using may not be working. So the first approach is to make sure that these bacteria are tested for sensitivity and use the appropriate antibiotic. That's number one. Number two, as I said, we still don't know the type of litter that these people, you know, different types of litter is being used, whether a particular type of litter is causing some cutaneous injuries, facilitating these organisms to get into the tissues and develop the lesion. So an observation is necessary for the different types of litter that people are using to make sure that they really find out whether any litter is causing any injury. Like they use the wood chips sometimes, the straw sometimes, and rice hulls. So we don't know which one is maybe causing any injury on the skin. That's worth observing.
And does the age of the litter have any effect on this?
It could be, because they say if the litter is wet, ammonia that is produced would be responsible for causing the damage. Mm-hmm. That's also a possibility. So the age of the litter, fresh litter is always good. Old litter is always not good for any bacterial diseases, yes.
Well, it's certainly sounds pretty complicated, and I'm sure the turkey industry appreciates all your efforts.
I hope we'll find some answers at the end of this project, the pathogenesis of the disease, and be able to understand the disease better than what we know now.
Well, I wish you luck with your research, and thank you for telling us about it. We have been talking with Kakambi Nagaraja from the University of Minnesota. Thank you again, sir.